This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns. A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Our thoughts on the schedule. Your thoughts on the schedule. We'd love to hear them. 216-474-0092. Again, the Browns 13 1 o'clock kickoffs, a 9:30 a.m. and 2 after 4, and 1 TBA. That's the Bengals last week. What does that say about your team? Does it upset you? I was listening last night. Sounded like some fans were upset about the schedule, like the Browns have been disrespected, or is this a disrespect on Shedeur Sanders? Or I was listening to all these little excuses. Fact, team won three games. Fact, the team belongs at 1 o'clock on most days during the NFL season until they earn it. They've got to go back out and prove that they're a worthy, worthwhile, entertaining product that people want to see on TV. I'm sure that every one of these networks got together when they were thinking about who gets what game and where and who. And you know, it used to be if you thought a team was bad and they had to have one primetime game, you would stick them early in the season on a Thursday night game. That was kind of their way of saying, you stink and we've got to put you on national TV. So this Thursday night package is, we don't really care about that. Then when Amazon Prime came in and spent all this money, Amazon's like, hey, we're spending all this money. Can we get decent games on Thursday night? And that's why the Browns aren't there. So I think the NFL has sent a big message to the organization saying, guess what, kids? You're not very good, and the rest of the country isn't really want to watch you every week.
I thought that the schedule release was eye-opening for the Browns, Andy. If Browns fans had some optimism just right now, I mean, you could get optimism coming up. You know, who knows?
Off the draft. You could have optimism from the draft.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? Let's be fair about that. Every year, some team goes from 3 wins to 11 wins and makes the playoffs and blah, 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 blah. That happens all the time. But if you had some optimism, I think this just shut it right down. Because two things, not just the lack of the primetime games. It's those first 6 games to me. It's like, wait a minute. This 3-14 team is opening up with 6 straight games against teams that had winning records last season, good teams from last season, and 5 of the 6 won 10 or more games last year. Oh man.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like, oh boy, this could get ugly.
Yeah, if they're I don't want to say this, but what if they are 0-5, 0-6?
Well, that's
what is that? I mean, in the NFL, that means that your job could be gone.
Screamed. Yeah, that's exactly what that screams.
I don't know. Do you think that the coaching staff in the front office is in that position?
Absolutely.
If they start 0-6?
Every front office and every coaching staff is.
They just survived a 3-loss season. This franchise kept a coach that was 0-16 for another year, too.
Well, and not
so. What does that mean about the patience
for that long?
No, but what does that mean about the patience of what's going on?
That's
here?
A fine question.
I mean, I think.
But we know, Andy. Come on, let's be realistic. You know it. I know it. I mean, it screams this could be a problem for the guys running the team. I mean, it really could.
The Haslams could really be tested here if they have trouble putting a competitive team out on the field the first go. I mean, you've got one of the best defensive players in the league, right? You would hope that that would mean something, especially if because he came back.
Well, but that's one of 22 starters.
I know.
It's only one.
I know. You got Denzel Ward back there. Like, I can be okay with the defense, but they got to win on both sides. You got to score more than 14 points a game.
I honestly think that the defense will be pretty good. And we'll see if the offense can do anything. Can I throw one thing in? You said this based on things you heard last night.
Right.
You said disrespect for Shedeur Sanders.
No,
you said some of the things you heard last night from Browns fans when you were listening.
Oh, as the league disrespecting Shedeur Sanders. That's what I was saying.
Well, the league already did. Dude didn't get drafted till the fifth round.
Yeah, the player player personnel disrespected him.
Well, so in other words, every team in the league did.
But that doesn't mean that the league itself, marketing and...
Well, there's nothing to market with a fifth-round pick until he shows he can play.
I don't think the world's looking at him like he's a fifth-round pick, Jeff.
Well, that's the problem. The world should. Hmm. My hope is the kid comes onto the field and surprises everybody. Or the Dylan Gabriel surprises everybody. But I personally think... All Browns fans need to quit thinking, oh, we have Shedeur Sanders. This could be really... He was a fifth-round pick. He was taken 4 picks after Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
I don't think fans are looking at it that way.
Well, I think they should. And just allow the kid to come out and maybe try and figure it out. I hope he does, man. I hope he's great. That would be wonderful. But let's not think the Browns found any, great guy here. Maybe they did. You can be sure some guys drafted in the fifth or sixth or seventh round are going to be really good NFL players out of this draft. I hope he's one of them. But let's not think that you really got something here and that's a reason this team should be getting attention and that this team should be thought of as, well, they could be really good because they have Shedeur. He was a fifth round pick and everybody passed on him like crazy. Let him get on the field and try to establish himself before we give him all that. And I hope he does.
So I think there's a couple of things when you talk about the fifth round pick. I mean, it is what it is. He's a fifth round pick. You can't avoid that. You just he just has to shake the label, right? He's got to shake the label. Is that a fair assessment to say that? The label. He's got to shake the label.
I don't even think it's a label, Andy. Well, he can play at the NFL level.
How many teams needed quarterbacks ahead of the Browns? You know what I'm saying? And
how many teams take quarterbacks when they think they have a good value? A lot.
You have to eliminate half the NFL on picking him up in a draft when you talk about the five rounds between him being picked and the first pick in the drafts. Because teams don't need quarterbacks. So why would you want him in that situation? Then you add in the factor that if he didn't interview well, that doesn't help. Or maybe you see something in film that says, I don't know if this guy's there. He's got a lot to prove. And I know that you want to look at him this way, and I'm not putting thoughts in your head. You want to standardize him as a fifth-round pick because that's what he is, right? Is that fair?
No, I don't want to standardize him as anything. What I want to standardize him as is a guy that teams passed over multiple times. And you don't pass over guys multiple times if you think they're going to be really good in the league. He might be. But it's the perception and the thought that some folks think the Browns really got something there. Well, maybe they did. But you can't say that based on anything we've seen right now.
All right, Henry is in Akron. Henry, how are you?
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, Henry.
I've been hearing you talk about, I'm happy that I got a schedule like this.
Sure.
I got a car to get a free meal.
Hold on. Good. What are we getting?
This is a Dairy Queen.
Oh, good. Nice. Good. I didn't realize they were open this early this morning. Breakfast?
Fraser Burgers. Isn't that what they were?
Hey, Henry, I need you to focus on us a little bit here, too.
Everyone's
listening. I mean,
hang up. Yeah.
Henry,
okay,
you don't?
Okay, thanks, Henry.
All right, thanks, man.
Enjoy your lunch.
Oh, 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Just going through the schedule here, trying to figure it out. Let's go to Bill in Parma. Hey, Bill, how are you? Hey, Bill.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, don't say you have the Dilly Bar, but anyway.
The Blizzards.
Oh, yes, the Blizzard. That's great. I was hoping they were going to play the Ravens five times, the Bills five times, and the Chiefs five times, because isn't the goal next year to get the number one draft pick and make it a quarterback? Isn't it?
I don't know. They just drafted two quarterbacks. If that's the goal, they definitely wasted one of those picks.
Well, I have a feeling that the quarterback options next year are better. And so,
in theory, they are, yes.
And so this is the time to do it. There's nothing worse than purgatory of having year after year of records like 7-10 and 8-9, and let's go for the goal. Let's go for 0-17 and get the number one.
We've already been there, and we don't want to live that way anymore. I'm tired of it. I'd rather be honest with you. I'd rather win 7 games and have some meaningful games in the month of December, and think that they've got a chance to make the playoffs, and then just be disappointed there, than having to go through an entire season knowing that it's over on the first snap.
Well, I agree with you at many levels, Andy, but I think if the goal is to go to the Super Bowl, and this is a very, very tough league that they're in, I think they're going to have a season where they have a chance to get the number one. But, hey, you guys are great.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. Well, I mean, they will have a chance next year with 2 first-round picks. They will. They're going to have a chance. It just depends on how much they can throw. If they're not the first overall pick, what are they going to be able to throw at the team that has the first overall pick? If that's what they want.
Yeah. And even if you don't get the number one overall pick, it's supposed to be a good quarterback draft. At least better than this year. I hate to say that I thought that when I saw the schedule come out. I thought, man, there's a possibility here that they could just be right there front and center, but if in line for that number one pick. But I also thought this, Andy. If this team gets the number one pick next year, mm-hmm. based on this tough schedule and everything else, and take a look at the offense, I'm still screaming for some skill position talent at some positions. I think they have some at running back, and you drafted another tight end. I think that'll help, but I still think there's some wide receiver work that needs to be done. But I thought, okay, if you get the number one pick next year, you probably have a new head coach, and you probably have a new guy making that number one pick. Even with patience.
It depends. I mean, how much are you flipping out the front office? Does that also mean that you have a new general manager? Is that the end of Paul DePodesta? You have to take some serious consideration into what you're doing moving forward.
I think the Haslams have actually been quite patient.
I agree.
With this crew.
Yeah.
They really have.
Let's be really honest, guys. And this is going to be painfully honest. If you had to describe the Browns of 2024 in one word, what would it be?
One word?
One word. You want me to give you mine before I start?
Go.
Unwatchable. They were an unwatchable football team. They were a mediocre defensive team and an absolutely horrendous offensive team. Outside of, 3 games of Jameis Winston that were a good time?
They were a good time.
Unwatchable. If you are the NFL, are you putting an unwatchable team who then went into the offseason and brought in a 40-year-old quarterback and brought in another quarterback that was asked out of Pittsburgh, even though it wasn't pretty when he played,
mm-hmm.
And clearly Philly's back or third string that they had, they felt better about. And Kenny Pickett then found his way to the Browns here. Hey, might be a reclamation project. We have no idea. Are you betting on Kenny Pickett, a third round quarterback and a fifth round quarterback, as something that can provide entertainment to the masses, along with a defense that is still didn't really do a whole heck of a lot in the offseason?
I think it's a good question. Let's bring it up when we come back on the other side of the break. I also, the Cavaliers, man, the future is not looking that bright, especially if you listen to Bobby Marks from ESPN this morning about all of the handcuffs they're wearing when it comes to this roster. So talk about both of those. You want to hop in on the conversation, 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. We just had that big breaking news that Charles Woodson now just owns 0.001 or is going to buy 0.001 of the Browns from the Haslam. Maybe about...
Is that what it is?
That's what... Yeah, that's what he just said.
0.1.
That's a difference.
It's not 0.001. It's...
0.1%.
You don't have to be mean about it, dude.
0.1.
Okay, are you done?
I don't think.
0.1.
So if the team's worth $2 billion, I don't know, what are you, $200,000?
Don't do math.
Well, I'm not doing it. I'm letting Google do it. Trust me, I'm not that smart. I know how to type the numbers in. How's that sound? All right, and so you're just real excited about that. I can see that, but it is kind of that Usher feeling that you have someone who is
What do you think of former players buying into teams?
I don't have a problem with it.
You don't?
No, not at all. If they want to go back, especially if it was their team, I mean,
well,
it's not like there's a rich NFL history.
Charles played for the Raiders and for the Pack, but he's from our area.
So buying into his hometown team.
Okay.
Maybe you can get Gruden in on this too.
All right.
They're both from the same. He's from Sandusky, same neck of the woods, isn't it?
That's true.
So get all those guys. True. So we'll see. So now you know that. It's a little tidbit. People go, oh, doesn't Charles Woodson own the team? That's what they're going to say. And then you're going to realize that he's probably like, my favorite line about the Haslams is, I don't understand. Why didn't the Haslams know this? They own the Steelers. They owned part of the Steelers before. Wasn't that how much of the Steelers did they actually own? Seriously. And do you think that they had any say in the meeting? They're like, we want Roethlisberger to be the starting quarterback. I don't think that that's outrolled. Sorry. Not buying that.
Maybe Jimmy and D can trade Giannis to the Cavs.
For who? Charles Woodson?
Isaac Okoro.
Okay, keep going. Who else? Who wants to throw it in there? Luke Travers?
They want to help the Cavs.
You need to throw Craig Porter in there.
No.
Yeah,
I'm holding out. Isaac even up for Giannis.
Imani Bates. Does that do anything for you?
Can't do that. No. Make a lot of people mad.
We're just trying to get a deal because everyone else is making deals on the Cavs doing that.
Dan laughed.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
You think I'm grumpy today? Manigan's been grumpy all day today, too. We had the opportunity to talk to Blake.
If you worked with you, you'd be grumpy, too.
Oh, stop it. Both of you guys.
Wow. Those are the words of Jeff Phelps and only Jeff Phelps and do not reflect the thoughts of Dan Manigan.
I don't know if you know this or not, Jeff, but you're not always rainbow and sunshine, too.
Come on. Come on.
Dan, validate me.
Those are the thoughts of Andy Baskin and only Andy Baskin and do not reflect the thoughts of Dan Manigan nor anyone associated with Dan Manigan.
Blake Jones, the senior director of broadcasting for the NFL, just joined us. I thought it was a really interesting conversation, Jeff, just because, you know, we all sit here and we all want to say, well, the NFL wanted this.
Yeah, we don't know, but Blake did.
Because he is the NFL on this one.
Yep.
And I thought he was pretty realistic about everything. He didn't really try to sugarcoat anything. He's like,
he's good.
He didn't disagree with me when I said, yeah, well, your team kind of stunk last year. They won three games, and guess what? They're not going to be on primetime. It's really what we got out of it.
And anybody have an argument?
There's no argument.
There is no argument.
Again, we heard last night the Browns. I was listening to the radio, and it was just like,
if the Browns get hot, Andy, and they're suddenly 9-2, they're going to be on. They're going to be in primetime. They get hot and they go 9-2.
They stay ice cold. They stay ice cold. You could be looking at a head coaching change by the bye week. True or false?
It's the NFL. Of course it's true.
False.
Why?
Because I think these guys have 2 years. I think this is a 2-year rebuild.
Jimmy Haslam did mention the quarterback in 2 years in the same sentence.
I think this is a 2-year rebuild. I think as long as the arrow is pointing either
tweak.
No, just straight ahead or even mildly up, I think these guys are in good shape. And I think even if it might be slightly tilted down, I think they're still in good shape.
If you're 0-8 going into the bye week, sell me that as a fan, that you're not going to make some sort of change.
I mean, you're one of the rebuild. What do you want me to tell you? So you're one of the rebuild.
I think
you're... What do you want?
Well, then you want the perception that your team is leaning into losing because you want the number one overall pick.
Yeah, there you go. You just sold it. I don't even need to work at it. See? Nice job.
But you got to lean into it. I mean, you really do.
Well, I mean, what leans into it? Do we have to have Kevin Stefanski out there with a cool sweatshirt that says...
We suddenly want to put our rookie quarterback out there to make sure that they're getting reps so we can see what we got. Because
For Aller?
We have two of them right now. Falter for Aller, no.
But put a sweatshirt on that says that? Put it on his hat?
What would be the Aller line?
Pew for Drew.
There you go. Pew for Drew.
For Drew.
There you go. I mean, that's the thing with this, guys. I don't think you are going to see this whole narrative, and it's going to happen this year where people are going to go, fire Stefanski, fire Perry, fire Jim Schwartz, fire whoever's in charge of the offense. I don't even care. Fire them, too. Like, you're going to run into all this again, and you need to realize these guys are probably safe. This is year one. It sucks. It really sucks. But Deshaun Watson tanked this thing when he was bad, injured, and suspended.
No. The Browns tanked the thing when they brought in Deshaun Watson.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. That's the better wording. Thank you.
Awful for Aller?
That's pretty good.
I like Pew for Drew.
I kind of like Catchier. Pew for Drew.
And I'm sure there will be other quarterbacks out there we'll all have an eye on, too, that may, you know, pop out of nowhere and be great. I mean, that's the thing with this. I don't think they're going to be firing people. I think this is year one of the 2-year rebuild, and I think everyone's on the same page that this is the 2-year rebuild.
Dan, if they start at 0-6, they're going to make a coaching change.
Okay.
I don't know how. Well,
all right. I'm willing to. We don't put on it.
I'm not going to bet.
It's 0-6. Is
remember,
that? What is there?
All right. How about this,
guys? I think
I
the
could
bye
be
week,
the president of the Kevin Stefanski fan club. I know you club. Are,
but the bye week I think will be telling.
All right. How about this? If they're at the bye week and they're 0-6 and they don't fire anyone, okay?
0-8.
0-8.
0-8. Yeah.
You have to come on the air and read. Did you ever watch the movie Matilda?
No.
90s movie.
They did Matilda, but
there's this great line that Danny DeVito does in there, and it's this whole speech of I'm big.
Something about getting greased up on a couch or something?
I'm big, you're Whoa. Small.
Careful.
What?
I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm all of those things, and I have to read it to you and in the other direction to prove that I am smarter and better than you. That's the bet. I'll print it out for you. It's not offensive in any way, shape, or form, and anybody who's my age knows this speech well.
If you're going to do Danny DeVito, it's got to be from Sunny in Philadelphia. Come on, man. Get with the program.
We can't say any of those lines on the air besides boiling denim. I think that might be the only thing that's come out of Danny DeVito's mouth in that show that can be repeated.
You
the
know,
air.
I think
he's great in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
If we gave away a little fight milk, isn't it fight milk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we'd be very popular. I think people would listen to us more.
Guys, I don't think people are getting fired. I think they all have a plan, and they're all on the same page.
I think that's cute.
You know, normally things that Jeff says, I would say that to like probably 95% of the way. Yeah. His perception of something, I'd be like, oh, you don't think Shador Sanders is relevant or not relevant more than just a fifth round pick. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. And I would think to you, oh, that's cute. And he just dropped that on you. This is a role reversal.
What have they done in the offseason that has made you think that this team needs to win immediately?
They drafted two quarterbacks. Maybe they don't think.
No.
Maybe they don't think their next starting quarterback is playing college football next year. There's a possibility on that, too. If they're trying to do this for Manning, for Arch Manning, right? Would you come out or would you stay?
Depends. How tight is Uncle Peyton and the Haslam family? Here's what they did this offseason. They stayed in the NFL. Dan okay. shakes his head like, what the hell is Phelps talking about?
That's why I'm like, we're not living in a world of promotion and relegation.
It's the NFL. Dan, guys get fired all the time. Good coaches get fired all the time. It's like, okay, well, that's enough.
Mike Vrabel? That's the last one, right?
And these guys.
That was an extenuating circumstance. So he was fighting with everybody in that building.
The Haslams have been very patient with Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. At some point, and I applaud them for that. I mean, you could have easily fired everybody after a 3-14 season. You could have. But, you know, they got saddled with Deshaun Watson. At some point, patience runs out.
We know what win now desperation looks like.
Oh, we sure do.
We have seen a lot of win now desperation.
It's the NFL.
This team has done nothing that constitutes win now desperation.
It's still the NFL. And the Haslams have already been very patient with this regime. And again, I applaud them for that. But if you get off to an unbelievably awful start and you think you're going to change at the end of the season anyway, well, then you'd go ahead and change in season.
And mind you, I don't think they're going to be over at the bye week. Like, please.
No, I don't either.
I don't think they're going to be over.
Either.
Yeah. But, boy.
Four and four with a chance to make a run.
Boy, this looks like everybody knows what's happening. And everybody understands what's happening, and everybody's
only thing missing is Hugh Jackson. Is that what you're saying?
Everybody's as tolerant as can possibly be at what's taking place.
Only thing missing is Hugh, huh?
Gotta watch the tape.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. I hear you. We are going to do a topic here coming up. Well, Danny, let me tell you this. Danny Green's going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk more about the Cavaliers and their contract and their future and what just happened to the Cavaliers. Also, something that Jeff does not want to hear about NCAA eligibility. I can't wait to talk about this. 216-474-0092.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
And I will tell you that is one of the two things I love about this schedule this year.
The 1 o'clock starts?
Yes. One.
I like a 1 o'clock start.
You know this about me. I'm a creature of habit. I like my 1 p.m. routine.
No, me too.
And whether that is how you fit church right in behind the game, whether you're a tailgater, like, I just love that routine. And when it gets disjointed, it does bug me, even though I just shut up and put up with it. The other is, like, this goes along with my theory. Like, I'm not trying to be a hater when I say I see three wins on the schedule. I think that's where our expectations should be. And because I think this is a team in transition. I think this is a team, and I think they're banking on two things. One, no Deshaun to weigh you down. Two, you've got a veteran team that you've had success with previously. I think that could go the other way as well, though, in terms of you've got a veteran roster. That could also bite you in the butt because it's the same veteran roster that won three games last year. I think it's much safer to say three games, and if they win six games, then I think we are pleasantly surprised.
But you shouldn't be pleasantly surprised, though, with six wins. That's the sad reality of me being a homer for saying six wins is that six wins is an awful season. Six wins is a bunch of losing. Six wins isn't fun for anybody.
But compared to where they were last year, and let's just say it, compared to where the quarterback situation is, $4 million for Joe Flacco, a fifth rounder for Kenny Pickett, and a third and fifth round quarterback. Like, you're playing the numbers game. Every one of those numbers could come out bust. So six wins means at some point you had some success with one of these quarterbacks.
Well, and so that's where what I think is interesting is that I have I've put it out there that I think the first stretch is going to be really, really tough. And so if you start off 0-5, because Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, and Vikings is no easy stretch, then you got to go the final 11 games getting what I would say is 6 wins. So you'd have to play better than 500 over the final 11, which seems like a really hard ask on top of it.
Well,
that's why the 6 in my head is hard to get to, even though I did say 6.
So what I'll say about that is, though, what do we always say? The teams that play best down the stretch are the teams that are showing growth. That's one way to polish a turd for a 6-win team. If all your 6 wins come in the final 11 weeks of the season or 11 games of the season. I'll say the other thing. I like the week 9 bye. Because it sets up for a few different things.
It's better than our week 5 bye like we had a couple years ago.
Or week 13 where the team barely makes it to the bye.
Yeah.
One, just naturally, middle of the season bye is my favorite. Just how I live my life around Browns football because of our jobs. I like that there. For this team, though, I like it for 2 reasons. One, if you wanted to do veteran quarterback early, second half of the season, well, we're 1-7. Let's let Shador or Dylan play, or both of them play. That sets up for that nicely. Like that is there's a clear line in the sand. Where are we the first 8 games of the season? And let's reevaluate from there. The other one is, I also think if you're 0-8 and you feel like Kevin has lost the locker room, that's another great spot for a coaching change. And I'm not saying that should happen. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying that is on the table if you think that Kevin has maybe stopped being the right guy for the roster as well.
I do wish, although I agree with you in most years, I think it's the perfect spot. I do wish it was a couple weeks earlier because I just don't think if it's Flacco or even Pickett, I just don't think they're going to last 8 games. So I think it's really hard to then turn it over to the rookie, and then you have a week or two, and then you have the bye week. I think that's incredibly hard. So I think that might force it, and then you're just continuing to lose.
Maybe I'm flipping this around, but I think with this team, so much of whomever starts out of the gate, their success is going to be, can we stick to our game plan? Can we forge an identity? And you got a little bit of that from Eric Edholm as well. I mean, I know Joe's got the big play potential with his arm, both positively and negatively. But if it's Kenny, I almost said Kenny Atkinson, if it's Kenny Pickett, you're going to need to run the ball 35 times a game, and you're going to need your defense to be great.
Well, that's what this team should be banked on anyway, even if it is Joe Flacco and his big-time throw ability. Like, it's got to be, we're going to be a defense and run game. That's like, if we're going to end up winning games, if we get to the 6, beat Vegas's expectation of 5.5, it's going to be based off of the defense playing more like it did 2 years ago instead of last year, and it's going to be the run game having a resurgence again.
Now, the only thing I will say is, this is to me the danger of how this season sets up. Last year, it was a comedy of errors that led you to 3-14. And you were trying to be a playoff team. You had guys talking about, we think we can win a title or chase a title this year if we're healthy, right? If we have the right breaks. I think Kevin and Andrew Berry are a little lucky that you survived that in the NFL. Expectations more often gear towards like what happens to coaches and GMs, like not meeting expectations, cause the more downfall than actually like, are they good or bad at their job? And I will say, like, this year, I like that the expectations are lowered. I think the fact that they have a veteran team and the fact that they are clearly going about this, specifically Kevin, I think is going about this trying to win as many games as possible. There is a danger in saying, I think we're a 6 or 7 win team and winning 3 games.
Yeah, well, I do like the idea, though, that you talk about expectations with this team because they are at the fore right now. Like, we've just posted that video in between the last break of me being like, how can you be a homer saying 6 wins? 6 wins is still laughably bad. And the comments underneath it, Nick, are hysterical. They're like, 6 wins is very optimistic for the squad. like people have no expectations. You are playing. It's not a free roll. It's not a bonus bet. It's not one of those things. But you're definitely, as far as people expectations are concerned, nobody's got any right now.
And I think anyone that does is either a Shador honk, which they're, I'm not saying you are.
No, but it's got to be part of why I think 6 wins is in play.
There is for some of those folks, there is a disconnection from reality because they're fans of a college quarterback that's coming to the NFL and they're thinking you can just do what he did at Colorado here in Cleveland. The NFL is a different beast. And or it's just the Browns homers. And if you just want to sit back and say, I think they're a 500 team and I can't wait to, I'm excited for a team, even though I think they're a 3-win team. I'm excited that this next year.
What are their pieces to watch that seem fun? And they seem much more fun to talk about than they did a month ago.
Listen, I'm living in the bubble where I don't know the team's going to be any better, but not having to do the moral and ethical conundrums of Deshaun Watson, and not just that. It's clear that guy is just not where he needs to be when it comes to the business of football. And that was hard. It was hard to watch his press conference. It was hard to feel any sense of pride with a guy who clearly is just not who he was before this.
Right.
So, like, there's a part of me that's the weight off simply because I don't have expectations and I don't have a moral dilemma rooting for this team this year.
Yeah, but apathy hasn't set in, which is a cool thing. And I'll be interested to see at what point it does for some of the fans. You know, if you start off 0-5 like that, are we still going to have... Are we still going to have that mentality where it's like, well, thank goodness it's not Deshaun, but we have this fun thing to watch with Judkins, with Sampson, and we're seeing this defense develop and all these little things. And that's good. I just kind of hope that maintains for people.
You mocked it, but the most competitive 3-14 team in the NFL.
Yeah, because you can't call them. You're right. I did mock that. I will stay mocking that, Homer.
If you've got a
call
dip,
me Ken Carman Jr.
If you've got
it's a, nice after 10 years to be in that boat.
If you've got a positive
100 Cleveland men.
If you've got a positive diff and you're 3-14,
positive diff.
Yeah.
Is there a like 3-14? Is there a 3-14 team that has ever had a positive diff?
I don't know. Now
I want to look up last year.
Why don't you chat GPT?
I don't chat GPT anything. They don't. Chat GPT is still at the phase where they get some things wrong. So we're not there. The point differential for the Browns at 3 wins last year was -177.
Yeah, okay.
The best record in the AFC that had a positive diff last year was the Cincinnati Bengals at 9-8.
Are you saying the worst?
The worst. I mixed that up.
And what was their diff?
38. They were a positive 38.
I want to be 3-14 with a +38 diff.
Every team that was 8 wins or fewer had a negative point differential last year.
Like I want to lose by one field goal a game. All right, and then the 3 games you win win by like 60 points.
Okay, I don't. You would be setting. It's got to be an NFL first. It would be an NFL first.
All right. Our research analyst Mac Robinson, who's never wrong on his details, is coming through.
Did you chat GPT? Is that what happened?
No, I did not. So last season, the Arizona Cardinals were 8-9, and they had a +21 point differential.
All right, so we're getting in the right direction. We're cooking with gas right now.
Analysis.
Can I get like a 7-10 team, or like a 6-11 team with like a +5, +7 maybe?
Okay, so the best we had in the NFC was Arizona. At positive 21, the next closest in Arizona was in the NFC was the Falcons at 8-9, and they were -34.
Well, that's Atlanta.
Although
we did
have a Rams team that won 10 games, and they were a negative diff.
See,
and that was talking diff. But we didn't have any 3 win teams that had a positive.
We didn't have any talking four wins on 92.3 The Fan.
That's the difference.
John from Wycliffe, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Oh, hey, yeah, I'm not excited, but I think that they're going to win a lot more than you guys think. I mean, you said there's no addition. I mean, just losing to Sean. I mean, last year, the line did not block for that guy. You know, the people on his own team did not like that guy. Right before the season, you know what happened. You saw the text messages like everyone else. I mean, it was a moral thing. Right, but now he's gone, so we don't know how good the line is anymore.
Wait, John, so you think the offensive line just wasn't playing well for Deshaun Watson? They wanted to throw the games for Deshaun Watson?
Yes. Amari Cooper was dropping balls on purpose. I mean, that's what people were telling. You know, that's what I thought too. And I'm just saying.
Why did they do that for Jameis?
What?
Well, they also missed blocks for Jameis. They also had big drops for Jameis. Like, why didn't they win more games with Jameis?
I just think that we still have a great defensive line, which makes your defensive backs really good too. And sure, we're hurting for linebackers, but overall our defense is one of the better ones in the league. And I mean, it's just like did you remember the Philadelphia game, the great Philadelphia Super Bowl champions? How much did we lose to them by? 4 points. I mean, you know, we gave them a game, and then our kicker, we better get a new kicker.
We did give them that game.
He cost us the Saints game, and then I don't know how many other games he cost us.
He's still here though.
Oh, Jesus. That would have hurt. All right, guys. Thank
you. Thanks, John. John didn't know that. Oh, Jesus.
I like that John was like, you guys are out of line. You're being haters. Hey, Dustin Hopkins is still here. Well, I guess you guys were right all along.
Gage on Twitter, by the way, good thing gambling's legal. Go slam the under at 5.5 then. Yes, everyone that suggests that I'm being a homer for 6 wins, you better empty your bankroll to Vegas right now. Because, I mean, that's it. That's just free money, right?
Why does everything have to come back to gambling? Why
it's free money. They're giving you money. If you believe that it's a 3-win team, you have a 2.5-win buffer according to Vegas here. I'm just giving you a tip here. It's a wise bet then.
216-474-0092. Deshaun Watson won't be here, won't be playing. Dustin Hopkins will be. Does that level off your expectations? The whole point about, well, they're going to be better just because they didn't have Deshaun, I then watched them not be better with Jameis and or DTR and or...
Well, they weren't throwing games because of Deshaun. That just, I mean, we can stop that convo, right?
I don't know if we can.
Yeah, Corrali was telling me all sorts of things in between the break. Maybe there's more to this than I know.
It's true. Okay, no, he's joking. Cleveland, don't. What? Don't get involved.
Are you worried that all of Cleveland's going to turn on you?
We thought that in an instant, everyone's going to turn on you.
Yeah. By the way, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm not saying that.
Okay, that's smart. Didn't fall for that trick. LaLand fell for a trick earlier today. We'll have to talk about that one later in the show.
LaLand will fall for anything. And also, if it was like, all of Cleveland hates me, here's my Twitter. I'd love to hear it.
216-474-0092. We will get back to the Browns talk and maybe a little bit more Dustin Hopkins talk later in the show, but potentially the dumbest thing the Cavs could do, and it's from one of the NBA's best analysts. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah. If it's $5.5 billion?
Wouldn't it be 50? 50 no. million? What, 0.01? Good God, I can't do math.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's okay, friend.
I'm glad you caught me there, though.
That's all right, then.
Yeah, we did not go to Bowling Green to practice math.
Does it make you feel a little bit different that $5 million is not nearly the investment that maybe $50 million was to you?
Both of those are far beyond what I'm going to do this again. 5.5. Okay. All right. You stall for time.
Yeah, I mean.
Right. Times.
How about that Brown schedule, guys?
0.01. I can't do math, but I know it feels longer than however long it's been.
How about those first 5 weeks?
It's still $51 million. However, I was just reading Daryl's piece on the Browns' okay. letter to Chris Ronayne. There's a few things. One, terse wording, but it starts with County Executive Ronayne.
Yeah. Is that disrespectful to Ronayne?
I think that is an intentionally, like, we're going to give the literal interpretation of your job. Didn't go.
Or maybe job title is so long to begin with anyway, though. Is it not?
What about dear Chris Ronayne? What about hey Chris Ronayne? Sup? Like I like, you know, and you know what? I like the Browns being this chippy.
By the way, I have multiple articles here suggesting the cost would be $5.15 million. I don't know what math you're doing here, but you really shook me for a second.
I'm taking $5 million.
I shook you, and then you shook me. I don't think that's exactly how it's going to work.
Oh, it should be 0.001.
Yeah, that's where you got that wrong, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now it is $5 million.
All right.
Knew it the whole time.
You had it the whole time.
Yeah, had it the whole time.
Never doubt yourself.
Never.
I've called you Will Hunting before. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Average Will Hunting. Not even good.
You're the Ben Affleck version of Will Hunting when he goes in and is the imposter Will Hunting.
I'm going to need my retainer.
The retainer. Retainer.
All right. So now that I've successfully embarrassed myself on air with my lack of mathematics skills, $5 million, like we all knew it was. We're talking about the Browns schedule and kind of how it impacts things. Well, I almost want to play what Dan Orlovsky had to say 2 days ago, where he's like, well, I think you got to start Sanders over Dylan Gabriel. Well, then after the schedule release, Dan weighed in on NFL, ESPN on NFL, and said this.
If I'm the Browns, Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders will be my starting
group. Why?
Yeah, because I either want to see if I struck gold and lucked into it like a Derek Carr did for the Raiders or a Andy Dalton did for the Cincinnati Bengals. So I want to know if one of those guys, or I have two first-round picks next year and I want to get to those, one of those two first-round picks for a quarterback next year. So I'm starting one of those rookies and they're going to play the great majority of my season.
All right, so nothing changed. So, like, 2 days ago, he was on NFL Live, and he was like, I'm starting Sanders or Gabriel week one because I got to find out what I have in them. And then they were like, Dan, you saw the Browns schedule. What do you think it means for the Browns?
He had the take locked and loaded from last week and was just like, let's just do this again.
There's nothing that could have happened in this schedule.
No, not at all.
That was going to dissuade Dan from believing Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur should start week one.
Not at all. And for myself, the only thing that's changed is I just feel like between either quarterback, unless I still want to see either quarterback get an opportunity, and I want to see them have a chance to go ahead and start and be as great as Dan says they are. But it's with the understanding that I don't think fans will have nearly as much patience watching either one of them because you're going to lose. You're going to lose games. And so we have to really look at it and wonder if they're losing games, but they're looking good, everything else that accompanies that. It's just it's going to be an uphill battle if they go the Dan Orlovsky route, where if you throw Flacco in there, then you do what you expected Flacco to do, which is give you five or six games and then peace out, Girl Scout.
All right, so I'm down with just starting. If the rookies are ready, which is a loaded statement because that's never really how it truly works out in the NFL, but if either guy's ready, I say just start them, and then let's give them as much time as possible, and just you got 17 games to play with. Let's find out what's real and what isn't, right?
Yeah. So the worst thing is that if you go Flacco for five games or so, and then, I don't know, let's say you go Dylan Gabriel, and he goes for four or five games, and then you just find out like that's enough time with Dylan Gabriel. Is six, seven, eight games enough time for Shedeur Sanders to go ahead and move off of your first-round pick? Probably not.
Yeah, I need to see either rookie for, I would say, more than half the season.
So this is the problem, and this is why if you're saying you want to see them start like Orlovsky is, I got no real pushback to that because it's just that makes sense too.
But I don't know that they're approaching this season with the same mentality that I am. I'm sink or swim. I'm just, hey, if they look ready, throw them out there. And Joe Flacco's $4 million isn't going to stop me. Kenny Pickett's fourth year of his rookie contract with no fifth year out, that's not going to stop me. Like, as soon as they're ready to go, no matter what your record is, put those dudes out there and let's see what they've got. Because that, to me, like, I want to be able to make an informed decision moving forward. I think they would be completely comfortable if next year, you didn't see either one of those guys. They won nine games with Joe Flacco, just missed the playoffs, and somehow Jacksonville's pick turned into the number one pick. I think they'd be completely content with just moving forward with three young quarterbacks.
Without ever seeing either Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel play?
I think so. I don't think these guys are beholden to, and it's why the trade down always made sense to me.
Because then you're investing the number one overall pick in a guy that who's starting them the next season.
I would, that's not a guarantee either. Like, if anything, then you can use the first half of next year on one of those more established quarterbacks and then turn it over to the rookie whenever they're ready.
There's a lot of different ways this can go is the point. If you're trying to get as many wins as you possibly can, does it make the most sense to give Flacco the opportunity to begin with? Like maybe I'm taking too much of an approach. I might be taking too much of an approach from their perspective, which is Stefanski knows he can't start this season. You can't go 0-5 and expect the locker room to believe in you. You can't expect 0-5 and expect anyone to think that anything is going to happen within this season. And so Flacco at this juncture, and it could change, but at this juncture feels like it gives you the best chance to at least win one or two of these games. That's a stretch.
That's why I think the quarterback competition really is between Kenny and Joe, and then it's on the rookies to force their way into that conversation.
Yeah.
And maybe again, the early reps in camp will tell us everything. If Joe's getting fourth team reps because he's the veteran, that proves he's the break glass in case of emergency. And if they go 33%, 33%, 33% that first week with all the other three quarterbacks, all right, then it is a true open competition. But if it goes, Joe gets fourth team reps, Kenny gets, you know, starters reps, and then the rookies battle between the other reps, well, then it really is, it's Kenny's job to lose.
Yeah, and it's the type of job that if you're Kenny Pickett, you're like, geez, this is what I entered? At least the Bengals don't have a defense. You start off week one, you likely won't win that game because Joe Burrow's going to put up a lot of points, but at least you'll have a chance to look good in week one.
Are we sure about that?
Well, again, no defense in Cincinnati.
Yeah, no defense, but like
you're probably not going to win the game, but there is no defense.
Like the formula that the Browns are going to work on is you better score first.
Well, and you're also going to have to score 40 to win that game, probably.
Well, I mean, well, no, then it becomes keep away. Like every game early on is going to be somehow get in the end zone on that Stefanski, the faded first Stefanski drive, and then just run the hell out of the ball and play keep away.
I mean, if you don't score in this Bengals team, shut it down then. You're not scoring against the Ravens ever. Good luck against the Packers. Lions are going to eat your lunch. I mean, you have no chance.
You're snowballing a little bit there.
I got a problem with this first part of the schedule. I don't know if you've realized or not. Everyone laughs at the schedule game. I put such great importance into when you play these teams.
Yeah, it sounds like you're not saying it with your chest.
Say it with conviction.
It doesn't sound like you're saying it with conviction
at
all.
Say it with conviction. I mean, I don't know what part of me isn't saying it with conviction.
It just feels like you were really confident in Shador until, you know, the schedule came out. Now I'm hearing, excuse over here, excuse over there.
I'm saying for Shador's sake, I hope he doesn't have to start week one and then go through the gauntlet that is this. It would be setting yourself off on the wrong foot. And that'd be the same thing for Dylan Gabriel, too. Anyone that enters this team as the quarterback week one, it's not going to look pretty by week five.
I don't, outside of Joe, who we know was born to throw the football in the words of Zach Jackson, any one of the other three guys, the plan's the same. Score first. Play keep away, run the hell out of the ball, play good defense. This is going to look, I'm trying to think of like what, like the most reductive NFL offense, like this most simplistic offense. This is going to look very much like the Pittsburgh Steelers offense last year. Maybe a couple home run balls here and there. Like, that's what I think. I don't know if that's what the intent is, but that's how you're going to win.
That's because we just both believe that this is going to be way more of a running game than people believe.
Which I don't even feel like is that hot of a take. Now, research assistant Mac looks to be on top of this one. Mac, what do you have for us?
So going back to 2020, the Bengals have actually only scored more than 20 points in one of their openers.
They lost to the Patriots in week one last year. Remember that?
And then the
one time the Browns did play Joe Burrow, he threw for like 83 yards, which at the time I said I didn't think he threw for that few yards since middle school.
And it was all downhill for both teams from there.
But Mac, that doesn't mean that they won't score a lot of points this year because Joe Burrow is still really good. But the point is the quarterback will have a chance against that really bad Bengals defense because they were one of the worst in the NFL last year, and they didn't get any better, guys.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying that if you're going to get them, though, week one is usually when the offense is.
So here's why, though. I have intimate knowledge as to why this is the case, and I don't know that it will be any different this year or not. Zach Taylor is a dodo bird, and for the first 4 weeks of the season, all he does is run the football. Every single year, all he does for 4 weeks is run the football, and then he gets reminded that he has Joe Burrow as his quarterback, and then it's like a light bulb goes off, and he goes, oh, I can throw the ball. And then he starts throwing the ball and they start putting up a bunch of points every single year. Every Bengals media member just complains as if they've never seen it before. And he does it every single year.
216-474-0092. I think we're dangerously close to moving quick hits into the 6 o'clock hour. Cause we are dissecting this schedule. I will say in a way it's never been dissected before. So let's go with Jim, who will further the dissection. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, hey, Chicken Little. Listen, this is classic Peterland hysteria. Oh, my gosh, the first 6 weeks. First off, Jonathan, there are no great defenses in the NFL anymore. They're good defenses that aren't great. They're good pass rushes.
There are definitely better defenses than less defenses, and the Ravens are a great defense.
That's no defense.
The Lions are a great defense. The Steelers are a great defense.
No, they're not.
Packers won 11. Packers won 11 games last year. The Ravens won 10 plus. Lions won 14. Like, oh, you're facing the better teams in the first part of the season.
Points given up, yards given up. I mean, Jonathan, listen. All I'm saying is you're acting like they're playing the 85 Bears. The first, you knew who you were going to play. This is the NFL. Guess what? If the Browns' offensive line, this idea is, oh, they're going to get killed.
Hot take for you. That's Lions' team would eat the 85 Bears for lunch.
That's one team, and no, yeah. Listen. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just said the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
He's throwing off the scent of the Peterland panic. Don't you? Get on him.
What would the fridge even do in trying to go up against this Lions team?
He would snack.
The fridge is basically Nick Wilson is proof. Nick Wilson could be on the 85 Bears. Nick Wilson was basically William the Fridge Perry.
Thank you.
Listen.
You're welcome.
The Browns have a good offensive line. If they're healthy going in these first six games, you know what Stefanski is going to do. They drafted a tight end. They're going to go a lot of two tight end. They drafted two running backs. They're going to try to run the ball, and they're going to go play action. No quarterback's going to get killed. Did I miss all the Browns quarterbacks getting hurt last year, even with a bad offensive line? Come on. I guess the hysteria is the worst. You knew who you were going to play. This is the NFL. It's not like in college football where you can go schedule, you schedule like the Florida School for the Blind. You're going to all the
I wish we could.
Teams, good teams beat bad teams all the time. And I'm and don't disrespect the 85 Bears. That just shows, what were you, like six?
No, I was negative 4 years old, but I grew up in up in Chicago, where all I was taught was the 85 Bears were everything, and I'm so tired of it. I'm exhausted. The Super Bowl shuffle could die, and I'd be happier.
Lawrence Taylor wasn't that good. According to Jonathan, the 80s Celtics and the 80s Lakers weren't that good.
If the 85 Bears lined up against this Lions team, this Lions team would beat them.
They are now.
That's right.
Nobody's as good as they are now.
40 years later, we should be better 40 years later.
Recency bias is terrible. Dude, be embarrassed. Come on. Man up, Jonathan. Man up. Man.
Hey, wait. Jim, you got to tell him to say it with his chest. Say it with conviction.
Ugh. He always says it with his conviction.
What was that?
I think that was Bane.
I'll say it with conviction. Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest. Peterlin hysteria. Peterlin panic sounds so much better. He didn't even get the insult right.
We have the proper branding. It's all right there.
I mean, there are definitely a lot of excuses for the rookie quarterbacks here. Like, get on with it. Like, if you're any good, you should be able to survive. I mean,
look at the teams that they're playing. It is Murderer's Row.
This is like physical assaulter's row.
Hardest part of the schedule is sitting right there in the first 5 weeks of the season. And depending what you think about the Steelers, and you think they'll be great with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but without him.
The first 6 weeks of the season, this is a very hard schedule. It gets easier. Yes, it does. It gets easier. But, yeah, you're set up for a lot of kicks to the groin here early.
Some people pay extra for that. 216-474-0092. All right, I guess we'll start here. How much should the schedule impact the quarterback race? Quick hits going to the 6 o'clock hour. Matthew, Steven, Todd, you guys next on 92.3 The Fan.
All right, that's Mary Kay moments ago on what it's like to cover the Shador experience so far, along with the other quarterbacks on the roster. Reminding you, the Browns remain one of the biggest stories of the NFL. With a quarterback competition ahead, don't miss Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin's latest edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where they discuss all the latest talk around what the Browns did in the draft and, of course, the schedule. Subscribe to the podcast now, 923thefan.com, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pod. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. You know, to the point that Mary Kay just made.
To the point that Mitch just cussed at me out in the hallway.
Why? Why would he do such a thing?
I had to use the restroom. I was a little bit late getting back.
You got to go. You got to go. Come on. We're pros here. We can work it out.
He cussed at me, you guys.
I don't think you can ever cuss at somebody for having to take care of things.
Call me fat like Scott Steiner.
That was partially in jest.
Wait a minute. Didn't you just say not 1 hour ago that you would be very excited?
I am.
If Mitch sent
I didn't
a text.
Say I was upset. I said I'm excited. Good. Cuss me out in the hallway.
Well, I think Mitch
it's
is
your
moving
show
up
too,
our,
Mitch.
He's moving up the depth chart right now.
Is
Hell
he,
yeah.
Is Mitch the new Max Struess of
he
the
could
station
be.
Right
good.
Now?
Good.
You wear a headband?
Cuss me out in the hallway,
love
Mitch.
It. I love
do
it.
Do it. So you're a grown man, too. You're a taxpayer.
Kenny, we just played the clip from Mary Kay from last segment about what it's like covering Shador. And she said, because of the social media is even ratcheted up that much more, you've got these Colorado and Shador fans from all over the country that are in battle mode every day, that this is actually right now a little bit even more than what it was when Johnny Football was here, which is pretty crazy because you took him in the first round. I mean, Shador is just a flyer fifth rounder. So is this going to be and this is part of the reason why the day after I'm like, why did they do this? But I'm glad they did this kind of thing because I thought it made our jobs easier. And, you know, we're always looking out for ourselves. Yeah. But as far as like doing what's best for the team, isn't that inherently the issue with having both these young quarterbacks is You got one guy that has a huge national fan base.
I gotta tell you,
but
I think
took him in the fifth round.
I think they're like bands now, man. I think every quarterback now. I don't know what it is. I think every quarterback has some fan base. I have my depth chart after rookie minicamp, which is, I mean, guys, it's radio, it's speculative, it's whatever. I have my depth chart after rookie minicamp, my personal depth chart, not a prediction on what the Browns are going to do. I'd pick it at the bottom. I'm getting cussed out by people in Pittsburgh. He went to Pitt, so that's half of it. I wouldn't just get cussed out by Steelers fans. But I'm getting, like, they all have a fan base. They all have a fan base. Dylan has a fan base, certainly, over there. That was a major program. And obviously, Shador, as we're finding out, has a major, major league fan base there with a lot of people there. I don't think that that's part of it just in figuring it out. I would like to take off the flyer label as soon as I can if I see him play well. And if I see him play well, it's like, all right, take off the labels of flyer, rookie, round five, round three, and say, where do they fit? Where do they fit with this team? Because I want them to be able to lead this team to some sort of a victory. That's why, like, I heard Dan Orlovsky last night on ESPN talking about what he would do week one with this football team. And I'm like, man, I think that might just be a little bit too far.
If I'm the Browns, Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders will be my starting
group. Why?
Yeah, because I either want to see if I struck gold and lucked into it like teams like a Derek Carr did for the Raiders or a Andy Dalton did for the Cincinnati Bengals or a Jalen Hurts did for the Eagles.
Or Russ did
right.
for the Seahawks.
Exactly. So I want to know if one of those guys or I have two first-round picks next year and I want to get to one of those two first-round picks for a quarterback next year. So I'm starting one of those rookies and they're going to play the great majority of my season.
That's audio courtesy ESPN. He doesn't have that much time to explain it, but that explanation is asinine. I'm not trying to go after him, but I am. Because Russell Wilson started because Pete Carroll thought that he could take care of himself and take care of the offense. He convinced him during that offseason and training camp that he could lead this football team to victory. You can't just figure out whether or not, hey, he either sinks or swims. No. I don't need to do that. I mean, we always hear stories about kids getting thrown in the deep end of the pool and, hey, you can either swim or not. That usually comes with a lot of frustration with water wings and all the other things where it's like, all right, dad's just going to toss him out there and he's going to see whether or not. And by the way, if the kid starts to drown, dad doesn't just stand up on the diving board and let it happen. Because that's what the Browns have done in past. Look at DeShone Kizer. You can't just put a guy out there. Well, we got to see whether or not we struck gold. How many times has the Browns put a guy out there who's young, who wasn't ready, and we did not strike gold? Every single time? Every single time. Not once, not twice, every single time we've done it. And most of the franchises that have ever done it have had the same thing happen to them. Russell Wilson is not an example to me. Pete Carroll is a much better football coach than that. That sounds dumb to me and irresponsible.
But hold on. Is it irresponsible if the guy, like Dylan Gabriel, for instance, he started 64 games? I mean, that is so many games. The reason why you would even have Dylan Gabriel is because you value his experience. You feel like playing in so many different offenses, so many different offensive coordinators. Like you feel like that guy can grasp a new offense and do it at the next level. When we've seen, there are plenty of quarterbacks that come right in.
And if I were ready to take
Bo Nix could do it.
If I were ready to take on Penn State, I would have no problem throwing Dylan Gabriel out there week one without seeing.
Would you have started Bo Nix last year week
without
one?
I'm talking about Dylan Gabriel right now. Without seeing anything that he's done in training camp, I'd have no problem throwing Dylan Gabriel out there. But again, Bo Nix, Sean Payton's a much better football coach.
Is it because of the round he was drafted in?
No.
Okay.
No. I just said I want to take these labels off of them.
So you'll never, you're saying never start quarterbacks in that first year.
Dude, that's not what I said.
Okay.
That's not at all what I said.
Okay, so clarify. What's the difference?
Well, listen
then?
To me, and I think it clarifies
itself. I'm having trouble following along here.
I really don't think it's hard to follow along. Okay. I don't want guys thrown out there before they're ready.
Well, but if they wait a second.
And I'll say it for the third time, if they prove themselves to be ready in training camp.
Is that something that needs to be
why
said?
Why do I have to parrot myself with you?
Is that something
listen to what I'm saying.
Do you feel like that was a big awakening we just had? Ken Carman says, don't throw them out there until they're ready. Obviously.
Well, obviously.
What coach is throwing out their quarterbacks when they're not ready?
I just had Dan Orlovsky advocate for it. No, that's what it is. You just gave me these examples. Well, Dylan Gabriel started a bunch of college football games.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't mean he's ready for the NFL.
Sure, but maybe he is. And then obviously, if they thought he was, they'd start him.
That's why they go through practice and training camp to figure that out.
Yes.
I'm not ruling it out. I'd be skeptical, but I'm not as close to it as they are. I'm just not going to say that they need to advocate and throw either of those quarterbacks out there. That's why I'm much closer to starting Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett to start the year. Because they have seen NFL defenses before.
Man, it is interesting.
One, seen a lot of them.
It is interesting. You bring up Joe Flacco, and I don't know, nothing's changed. We've just had rookie minicamp, so obviously those are the guys that were going to be there. We don't even know how much we're going to see Joe Flacco get reps at all once training camp starts. But you just mentioned Joe Flacco, and he's kind of been out of sight, out of mind to me, to the point where I'm like, is he even going to be on the roster when the season starts?
I'm going to get killed for this, and I know I am, and it's okay, because everybody wants to see the Christmas presents, so they're going to want to see Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, but fine. I think that more people are with you. They feel it's going to be a 3 or 4 win football team instead of a 6 or 7 win football team the way I am. So do you guys just want to rip the Band-Aid off? What the hell's the point of Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco when you got two rookies there and we got to figure out whether or not we have a quarterback for next year? 216-474-0092. I think it's completely irresponsible. But I think I'm going to lose this argument with everybody. We have a letter here from the Cleveland Browns. Browns CEO Dave Jenkins to County Executive Chris Ronayne. Did you read this yet?
I did. I saw it.
What'd you think of the letter? Because it says basically the Browns are willing to just go rogue without the county.
It was very strongly worded.
Yeah.
The niceties are over, although it feels like the niceties have been over for a while. They all played, originally they all played kind of nice. And then, you know, Ronayne was very early on starting to put up his objection to this. We already know where the mayor stands on this. So I think all parties involved, they went public as they could to try to gauge sentiment. And now I think everybody's kind of drawn a line in the sand on where they're at.
Well, with the commissioner meeting with the governor over the week before, we were talking Cavs a lot. We did talk a little bit about the governor and the commissioner meeting with Jimmy Haslam and everybody. You asked if this was like a big thing. And I got to ask and see whether or not it's standard. I've heard that it is a standard thing that an active commissioner will go and meet with the governing body or whatever when they're looking to seek funds or secure funds for a stadium. But, you know, I see some of that stuff and I go, well, I think they're going to get it one way or the other. You had a bunch of other questions, though, about this, and like, do they need the county? Is this a bad move by the, not if they need the county, but is this a bad move by the county to not reap the rewards? Or how can they not reap the rewards? Because I go, well, you know, I was on the phone with you yesterday. I go, well, sales tax is sales tax. There's only so much you can do to circumvent something like that. Like, if the money's spent in the county, it's still
there's an Ohio sales tax, there's a county sales tax.
So I guess I think what everybody's confused about is that Brook Park is still Cuyahoga County. So what is the sticking point with the county on this? You can understand, Blaine Griffin was the first one to it for a very long time, it seemed, and now Justin Bibb has jumped in, but you can understand where the city comes out on this. But that's totally reasonable. But when it comes to the county, it's like, well, it's still in the county, Tom.
The county's stance has been that they don't want, and this is similar to Mike DeWine and what he has said about the general fund. The county is saying they don't want the money diverted to the other needs of the county. And, you know, obviously in that proposal, there is a slew of money. Now, the Browns continue to say that money, those issues will take care of themselves. They'll be generated by just doing business, at a new Browns dome, that this project in essence is going to pay for itself. And obviously the county does not agree.
Yeah, this becomes wonky. So where do you see this going out on? I mean, you've covered the state house. I'm serious.
We've had some major projects that, it all comes down to politics. It always comes down to politics and just your thought on, what kind of projects actually truly do stimulate an economy. I mean, for every team that puts out all their literature on how valuable these projects are, you will see 30 studies that have been done that say there is no return on this investment for the area. It's not the incubator that, either politicians or teams will say that it is. So we're all just looking at numbers and then trying to decipher, what it's going to be. Is there a such thing as if you build it, they will come? Is there a need for, the type of retail in that area? Normally businesses come in, they have a calculus, they look at the demographics of a region and they say, okay, this area needs this department store or this type of retail. And then they build it. They do it on their own. I mean, they try to get as much subsidy as they can, but then in the end, if the math makes sense, they do it. You know, we have a hotel that was built down here in downtown Cleveland. And people are still wondering, did the city, did the county actually get anything out of it? Because why did they have to subsidize it if it was that great of an idea? Doesn't capitalism suggest that they'd be able to do it on their own? Hmm. You know, that's capitalism.
Yeah.
How much government intervention do you need in these things? So it always comes down to politics. I don't want to bore people with all of that.
So
it's up to the Browns and it's up to the politicians to make their case. And in the end, you know, we're talking about the county, but I mean, seems to me the proposal is going to come down to whether or not Mike DeWine is going to, because I'm guessing that the state house is going to pass this through with the funding mechanism as is. So is Mike DeWine going to support that or is he going to veto it? Because he can line item veto it. And if he vetoes it, where are they going to come up with the money for the bonds?
Well, I have an idea with that, which I think I would probably just align with what the governor has in mind.
The gambling?
Yes. I feel that that's more long-term than what a sin tax is given. I mean, you got fewer smokers than you've had in the past, fewer tobacco users than you've had in the past. Now, does that go to nicotine as well? I mean, confess your sins. Owen coined the term, coined the phrase. What?
I don't know if it does.
I don't know if it does either. So, we're talking tobacco. Well, that's a non-tobacco product, correct? So, I don't know. I'm not very familiar with it, but I don't think that there's tobacco with it. I mean, I've zinned, if I can admit. It was a zesty enterprise.
I've done it once.
Not that I condone that for people under 18, obviously, but you get what I'm saying here. I find myself trying not to repeat the things that I've said since this process started in earnest like a couple of years ago now. You're going to always pay higher ticket prices. The stadium as it is not to me tenable that you would be able to revitalize the stadium and have it be something that we're not talking about again in a decade. I don't want to be doing this in a decade. I don't want to take $1 billion and do this in a decade, which should be honestly 2.5 and be 30 years. It should be. I like that the current, and I know what the current design looks like. I like that the current design doesn't look like any of the other things that people are talking about with new stadiums popping up with Kansas City and a couple of other places, because they all just kind of remind me of cookie cutter stadiums from the 70s because they all look alike. I like that this one doesn't look alike, but that's for aesthetics. I've never once and never will say that this is going to be some economic boon, because there is always going to be a study that tells me that that's not true. And it seems that every study's out there. So I'm not an economist. I can't claim that. I've said you're going to pay higher ticket prices. You might as well be comfortable.
Well, and
I don't want to have to do this again in 10 years about that personal state. Yeah, that current stadium. I mean, and then the PSL thing is going to be a sticky
wicket. A new stadium is going to come with a PSL. I mean, if you follow the trends of the NFL in Buffalo, they are outraged about it. I could not believe the expense
of those
PSLs. But
they have people buying them. Now, according to them, you've asked, like, well, okay, where's the numbers that say this? But that, according to them, down, they got people buying them.
It's a country club membership. I mean, that's, you're going to be, if you divide it, you know, by 12 months out of the year and by how many years, I mean, it works out. You know, if you're a 537 boy, you know, you're going to be paying, in addition to the tickets going up, you're going to be paying a PSL, but assuredly.
My thing always boils back down to, if we're in the month of December and the Browns are not that good, are you not going to be able to find a reasonable price for a seat up top to fill the stadium?
Oh, always.
So if we're always going to be able to find, I know that there's outrage when you see some of the prices that are thrown out, the sticker shock that happened with the Bills situation. All right, well, the Bills aren't going to be great forever. And even then, you know what? You might get to a point where this is expected to make the playoffs. So what is a 537 seat going to come with at the new stadium in Buffalo? If the Browns, at some point, you hope that it's going to be old hat, that they make the playoffs, that they are competing for a division. I know that seems like a far away dream, even a pipe dream to some, but that's what you're hoping. Okay, well, how much would a ticket cost for a 537? I'm sure very much so in 2029. But in 2030 and 31 and 32, by the time you get to December, are we still talking about $10, $15 ticket prices to get in? You said always will be. So for the general person who wants to go to a game, I still think there's ways to go to a game.
Yeah, it's just the season ticket holders are the ones that pay the ultimate price.
So I've accepted that this is going to happen. I've accepted that I'm excited about the possibilities of a new place, certainly. But I also don't want to have that huge hit to the coffer. And I think that Mike DeWine's idea is the best idea that we could possibly think of. Or for something that's long term, because he's got to think about something for Cincinnati as well.
Yeah, in the end, these negotiations, you always have to figure out, you know, what you can tolerate, what you're willing to put up with. And I think we're all starting from the same vantage point when we talk about owners and whether their cries for subsidies and government help and public help to build these things, which is, all right, we'd all like the owners to pay 100%, right? We would like the owners to fund these 100%. Okay, so we start out there. And then what would the Haslam say? No, we are going to do it at this rate, but this project will ultimately pay for itself, and we're doing more than any other ownership group, is what the argument will be from them. Well, where can you meet? Do you want to meet in the middle? Is that something you can accept if you are the politicians or if you're the people? I mean, look, the voters are never going to get to vote on this. This is not something the voters will ever be able to vote on.
Yeah.
And there haven't even, to my knowledge, been public hearings on this. This has all been behind closed doors and now politicking in the media. That should rub voters the wrong way. That part of it. I'm not suggesting you side with either the team or the politicians, but it should anger you that you have never been able to voice your opinion on this. You know, yeah.
You can call us,
but that should bother you, and you should raise hell with the team and politicians that has been the case.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.